When we think about ayatana, it seems like we are getting away from this moment by thinking about the term or the word. But getting close to reality, who do you meet right now? No one. Just begin to meet new friend, visible object. But actually no friend, just something appear as we haven't met before, but actually there is that reality all the time, but not knowing it as it is.
People object so much to this. They don't want to accept that. That we are no friend, we don't meet any friend.
No matter they like or not, reality is reality.
Yeah.
If they object, it means that they are getting away from meeting new idea or understanding.
It's the hardest for Lodewijk to accept this.
For anyone, I think.
Yeah, the hardest.
We cling very much to I and the other. When there is I, there must be the other. I and the other.
You're so used to that idea.
Not whisper
I and
object.
The other.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this morning, Nina, you wanted to hear a bit more about streams or accumulations. That you thought it was not quite adequate because it's actually Nina's stream or Lodewijk's stream or something?
Oh, the stream of Chitans, yeah. That it is not a good point or not good to speak about a stream of Chitans. But I was thinking of this individual is different in accumulations. It is Chitta, Chetasika and Rupa. If, we know.
Yeah. If you don't like the word stream or like, all right, don't use it. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
But there can be the understanding that now, in reality, citta arises one at a time. But what are here, people and things, see, like stream of many citta and cetasika arising, but actually it's just one moment.
Yeah. One at a time, but they are succeeding one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so the different accumulations are, so to say, passed on from one moment to the next.
That is idea when it's not directly experienced.
This is an idea so long as it cannot be experienced. Yeah, is that right?
What is real can be directly experienced. Otherwise, what else can you experience?
Yeah.
It means like one is not acquaintance with reality at all.
One is not
acquainted.
Oh.
I think what Ajahn means is that until it's been experienced as a stream, then there's only the idea of a stream.
The idea, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the term stream, all right, don't use it.
Yeah.
Because now there are not just one citta which arises and falls away, many in succession.
I don't think that was Nina's objection or difficulty. I think her point was that we talk about process or many different cheetahs, but what her point is that just to say there are cheetahs seems inadequate because this process is Nina's or this process is Lodewijk's, I think.
And this process and this process?
All different, right?
Yeah. Only processes.
Each stream has its unique tendencies and accumulations.
I think that if it's not clear, we better use the other term, like some might have heard about the stream of Bhavanga.
Uh-huh.
It just says that it's so like a flux of reality arising and falling away, but in reality just one moment at a time.
Right.
But when it does not appear that yet, it depends on if you can understand that better, then you use that term. If you think that it's not good to understand, then we just don't use that term.
I think the stream, it's a unique, it's a stream with the tendencies and accumulations that are different from other streams.
When you use the term stream, you think of one moment or what?
I think of moment.
I see.
Moment.
Yeah. It's not like water in the stream.
No.
It's one moment after another.
Yes, like that.
Succession.
Yes. So no doubt.
Yeah.
If it's that way, just one citta arises and falls away, passes away, and the other citta follows. If one moment arises, it passes away, nothing left, and the next moment is there. If it's a stream, then it's all right.
Did you say there was something more you wanted to ask about karma or Lodovic's question that wasn't quite satisfactory?
I read to him about what you said, how karma conditions the sense bases and the cittas vichaya vipaka, and how people react differently with kusala citta and akusala citta. And he said, but the Buddha doesn't give an answer, so I went back to the sutta. But this is exactly what you said, is exactly in the sutta, because the Buddha began with the six elements, and then 18 feelings, three times the six objects, and the Four Noble Truths and the dependent origination. So this is the essence of his teaching. So the Buddha answered very straight. And he says, oh, it's too complicated, can't I summarize in a few words? He gives it up, it's too difficult, he says, the sutta.
Maybe it's too much talking about the 18 and the 6 and so forth.
Yeah.
What about just a moment or a reality right now? We can talk about seeing, just seeing at this moment. Is it someone?
It is no one. Yes, but he says it doesn't give an answer.
Yeah,
to
not yet. The answer cannot just come without any understanding.
Yeah.
But when we think about vipaka, which he doesn't understand yet, right? Can we talk about seeing? It's real. And can we talk about akusala, which is not seeing? They are different. We don't have to say that this conditioned by karma, and kusala and akusala is conditioned by accumulation. We don't have to mention that. Just seeing the difference between the two. Are they different or not different? When they are different, the conditions for their arising must be different too. So we can see that seeing is not thinking, not kusala, not akusala. Hearing is not thinking, not kusala, and not akusala. There can be thinking without sound, without visible object, without smell, without taste. But the seeing must have visible object, which can be seen. And hearing must have sound that can be heard. And who can have sound arising? And who can have sound impinged on the ear base? And who can condition the hearing? See? So when we come to that point, we can see that what conditions such experiencing unpleasant sound? And how come to hear the pleasant sound? There must be conditions, which is not like thinking at all. This is the way to understand the difference between vipaka and the kusala and akusala.
There's one good question I'd like to hear your answer to. Sometimes it seems that a formal practice in conjunction with Dharma study must be helpful. Even if it's yoga, to calm the mind. It does seem that way, doesn't it?
The purpose of listening now is to understand reality right now, or to do, or to perform, or to what? Like what you call practice? Or
yes, the aim or the purpose. Yeah.
What kind of practice?
Formal.
Formal. What do you mean by formal practice?
Well, formal.
Sitting in yoga meditation.
For what's the purpose or the objective of sitting like that?
Well.
For health or for what?
To facilitate right understanding.
Then let us sit and don't do anything or understand anything.
People say then the mind is so calm and everything is so clear, but I don't know what is clear when they say that. But not explained. What is clear?
Even calmness, I think that, is it real calm? Or is it just you think that it's calm?
It's probably attachment to the idea of calm, being calm.
I think that only Panya can know what is what. Mm. Otherwise, it's only just speculation.
People really don't see that being conventionally distracted, wisdom can still come in just as much as being conventionally calm. So until they can understand that, they will always feel that they should be calmed first to have understanding. But that's not the case when it comes to insight,
okay. I think. Is attachment real?
Yes.
Is aversion real?
Yes.
Can Panya know that? Mm-hmm. So, at this moment,
yes,
it's gone without understanding.
Yes.
Always like this, no matter when one having the, what you call, yoga?
Practice? Well, we were talking because Ken used to be a meditator and stopped meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking him about his meditative practice. And I said that since he stopped meditating and was studying Dhamma this way, did he feel that now that he has an understanding of Dhamma, he could use his meditative practice in a different way as would, that would be useful? And he said no. I think that's what you did say. He said no.
I still would like to know what's the informal practice practice.
Well, I don't know because
yes, I'd like.
A formal practice is something that you do with the belief that even if I can't control Kusla and Akusla, at least if I try, then that intention
to understand what?
Not to understand.
Try to understand what, or not to understand anything.
Well,
try to understand.
I mean, that's the idea, right?
Is it trying to understand, or is
try
it
trying to make the mind calm?
Trying to make the make
or both
the
mind calm. Same time.
So the purpose is to be calm.
Yes, we're talking about sitting quietly with eyes closed.
Don't they say that this is the technique to have awareness? I mean, isn't that what most people...
That's the traditional explanation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say is going to be the goal. I'm not saying that's what... But I'm saying that's what people think that the effect will be. If they sit, they can find a secret path to the moment of...
So the purpose is to have attachment or detachment.
Yes.
Attachment or detachment?
I would think the purpose would be for detachment. I mean, I would assume hopefully that's the purpose.
Yes. I mean, I practice yoga and teach also, and I don't think that it is helpful to develop right understanding, but it is useful for physical well-being. And I guess I'm also aware that a lot of people practice yoga because it does generate pleasant feeling. So it can actually be a condition for attachment to pleasant bodily feeling and mental feeling because, you know, if there's a lot of exertion, then there's a sort of a sense of calmness after that. So I think there's a lot of practice with wrong understanding, but I think it can also be practiced as an exercise, like as something which maybe instead of running or swimming or something like that, as long as you don't think that it's going to lead where it's not going to lead.
Right. So there's no connection with Dharma?
I don't believe so, but I know that it comes from a tradition where there is belief in, I think we were talking about this the other day, in the Atman, the eternal self.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the practices are built around making contact with that and that sort of thing. I find the actual physical practices to be of benefit.
Could I put it this way, the question? Conventionally feeling calm and conventionally feeling very worried, nervous, distracted, fearful or whatever, is any of those, that range of conventional emotions, if you like, are any of them more conducive or less conducive for insight to arise?
So you don't think that all akusala dhamma cannot be known as not so?
I didn't say. My belief is all of them are exactly the same, because all elements are possible for insight, so I can't see that there should be any difference, theoretically at least, why there would be, but Ajahn, if you could confirm.
I think that there are many purposes in life, but the purpose of listening to Dhamma is different from other purpose. Mm-hmm. Because listening to Dhamma is to understand what is now, whether it's I or me, or things that we used to take for something permanent, or what is the truth of it right now, the purpose of listening. But we can have different purpose when we go to see movies or eating such and such, but the purpose of listening to Dhamma, one has to be very truthful. What for? If it's not understanding reality right now, it's useless. But when there are different moments in one's life which are uncontrollable, like unpleasant feeling, nobody likes to have it at all, but it's there when there are conditions for its arising. So what's the best thing to do? To understand it or try not to know? And keep on trying to remedy situation or to solve problem, which will bring more and more unpleasant feeling.
When you asked Ken before whether his old meditative practice, mm-hmm. which he would say was with wrong view, brought any benefit now, what kind of thing did you have in mind?
I was just thinking, wondering. There's a curiosity. I mean, I didn't really ask Ken at the time what his purpose of meditation was, because so often you read it's for calming the mind. Some people say it's for controlling the mind. I don't really know what Ken's purpose was at the time. It's just that he stopped meditating. And I wondered if, knowing the Dhamma as we discuss now, if he were to resume his meditative practice again, if he would do it with a different understanding, or if he would find that one was supporting the other.
But let's say he has now developed more understanding mm-hmm. of realities and sees mm-hmm. that his other practice was with wrong view and off track. Why would he consider...
No, but he may change his practice.
What would be the purpose in having any particular kind of fixed practice of any kind?
Understanding. I mean, I don't know of understanding the Dhamma.
He may have that accumulation to sit because he did it for so many years. So,
is the question, can one sit with
right understanding?
Right understanding.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
No question about this. Otherwise, you think that you can.
Right. There's always thinking, and I mm-hmm. can do mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Because whenever the people do some kind of meditation, it's always an effort to train the mind to do this or that and the other thing. So who's training the mind?
Or who's sitting there waiting for awareness to arise?
Yeah.
And what?
Or who's sitting there waiting for awareness to arise? Right, but at least we understand that that's the right way to do it. When there's a thinking that, I'm waiting for awareness to rise, we know, that's being done, at that moment it's being done with an eye. But maybe at the next moment it's not being done with a sense of eye.
And what is there at that moment?
What is there at that moment? Yeah.
Attachment. Yeah. Wanting, hurry.
Ajahn, could we say that every other path, every other activity is done with attachment only?
Because one doesn't know that one clings so much. Whenever there's the idea of I would like to know better, deeper, that is lopa, attachment, no understanding at all. So even such thinking, it's lopa, the hidden lopa is there. Thinking that, it's good to hurry or to have virya effort to try this way or that way in order to get the result. But actually it's done by wrong understanding and attachment.
So if there is any
real understanding develop, there wouldn't be any thought of trying to follow any practice.
May I just make one comment that I found really helpful when we were discussing it at lunch, when you said about not trying to understand or trying to know, about just going with the current, and it was that business about not measuring, not just going with the current. And when I thought about that later, that seems like right effort. Is that like a way to think about right effort?
Actually, even this moment, there is no self. There are different kinds of citta and cetasikas arising by conditions. But the idea of self is there as long as there is no understanding about realities like bliss or attachment or panya. So at moment of reading or doing something, it's like I am trying. But are they not cetasikas, which perform the function in a moment? No one at all. But since there's no understanding about all these realities, I is there all the time. Even right now, we learn from Tripitaka that at moment of seeing and hearing, there can be only 7 cetasikas. See, just that, by conditions, as it's the result of vipaka, as karma has been done when it's right time and right condition, that has to arise. No need more than just 7 cetasikas. But as soon as seeing has fallen away, vitakka, another cetasika, has to arise with the next moment. No self, no I, who can try or can do anything. But Buddha also told how many cittas arise with virya, effort, and what citta does not arise with effort. Not I at all. At this moment, is there any effort? Yes. See, we don't have to do anything, just sit and listen, but effort is there. At moment of understanding, we don't have to try so hard, make effort. See, so the best way is to understand reality right now, so there can be the detachment from taking anything for I or for something permanent like attanutiti, something's there. Instead of trying with one's own idea about may I try this or can I make this helpful for such and such, it's one's own idea, not the understanding of reality at all.
So just going with the flow is reference to a moment of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Without understanding is attachment. So when there is right understanding, like the second noble truth, if one does not see the attachment as it is, how can there be the elimination or the eradication of attachment? Like now, is there any attachment to visible object? See, no awareness, no understanding that many moments of realities pass by unknowingly all the time. Even hardness, see, no awareness. So what is not known to awareness, and when it's gone, it's not clear. It cannot be clear. Even hardness, which is experienced by body consciousness, is gone. How clear? No, it's not clear at all. But when there is awareness, hardness is clearer because of awareness is there. Arising is aware of hardness. So hardness appears as a reality in a day, many moments. Only hardness through body sense, visible object through eye sense, sound through ear sense, thinking through mind door, that's all. Do you remember what we had during lunch and up to now?
I remember what we had.
Clearly?
Yes.
Clearly.
We were eating.
Each moment.
But the cheetahs, no.
What about past moment? Just past. Clear or not clear?
Wondering about visible object and attachment and how much we like a visible object.
But not clear at all.
No.
That's why reality can be experienced by citta, different from when it's experienced by awareness. It also appears to citta, consciousness, as usual, but when awareness arises, it is aware of that, so it becomes clear, like hardness with awareness and hardness without awareness. It seems like one thing that is the same, hardness without awareness and hardness with awareness, but do you remember hardness without awareness as it is object of awareness?
I don't get that quite. Would you repeat that?
Okay. Yes. You touch this many times.
Yes.
And hearing and seeing is in between.
Yes.
So can you tell about the hardness when there's no awareness and hardness when it's hard, when awareness is there?
The body consciousness experiences hardness now.
Past, gone, completely.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember. Because it's gone. You think that you know it's hard, but actually the characteristic of hardness is not as clear as when awareness is there. And this is natural awareness. Right awareness must be like daily life. No formal practice or anything at all. It arises by conditions like other reality. The sound is conditioned to arise. Hearing is conditioned to arise. Hardness and the body consciousness has to arise. So awareness can arise by conditions like that. Very natural. Before one can do anything. And that's the meaning of anattaness. But if one is trying to have it, one thinks that it arises by one's will.
This morning, Ajahn, you said that these sense rupas arise with the four primary rupas. Otherwise, there is nothing to be seen. I wrote that down because I didn't quite...
Yeah, because one usually thinks about seeing something like this or that. If there is no that rupa which can be seen, can there be anything seen here?
Mm-hmm. Why is it important that they arise with the four primary rupas?
Without the four primary rupas, no rupa can arise at all.
Can I change the subject altogether? John pointed out recently that the meaning of sabhava was inherent characteristics of Paramita Dharmas, but it only applied to those characteristics which distinguished that particular Dharma from other Dharmas. So, for example, distinguish seeing from hearing. And sabhava does not apply to the common characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So what is when I say sabhava, I always think of substance. So why is the former category substance?
Can I just refine the comment? Mm-hmm. The reference to sabhava, as I understand it, is generally made in terms of the unique characteristic.
Right. As opposed to the common characteristic.
Well, I don't say it doesn't apply. Oh. When you talk about Paramita Dharmas have their own characteristic, then they are with characteristic. But as a matter of usage, when we talk about the sabhava, as I understand it, we're referring to the unique characteristic. The general characteristics are also characteristics of dhammas.
Are they substance?
I wouldn't think of them as the
three characteristics common to all conditioned realities.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example?
We're talking about, for example, the unique characteristic of visible object is that it's experienced by seeing consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Okay.
So those are the general characteristics.
Okay.
And each visible object has its own sabhava, its particular nature or particular characteristic that is different from any other one.
Different from sound.
Different when each visible object is different from each other visible object too.
So what
otherwise we'll have to define what sabhava is. It does not include the general characteristic. and then try to find out if that's going to lean towards what people talk about own characteristics.
I'd be inclined to think that it would have to include the general characteristics.
I think so.
Because Sabhava is entire Sabhaptam.
Mm.
Realities.
Right.
Yes.
I think that when we talk about reality, anything which is real, how do we know that it's real if there's no characteristic at all? Like sound is sound, hardness is hardness. The characteristic of sound is that which is heard now. We don't have to define any other word, because whenever it's heard, that is it. And it, the characteristic of being sound, which can be heard, this is what we mean if we want to talk about sound, not talking about taste. But each reality has its own characteristic. Like taste is not sound, and sound is not hard. It's just showing that it's real.
And if there is anything in reality that corresponds to a normal sense of substance, it would be
like
a characteristic. Well, in conventional terms, that has substance, so it's real. So,
what substance is there?
Well, it's separate from that.
By shape? Or by touch?
Well,
or by thinking?
Weight, mass?
That is thinking.
Yes, it's
and
thinking.
When you talk about visible object, this is seen and that is seen.
Yes.
You cannot change the characteristic of that which can be seen. From this to that,
right,
they can be seen. So it's a reality that can be seen. But when you think about white and green, it's thinking. It's not moment of just see.
Right.
Green is seen, white is seen, but we don't have to say that one sees green and one sees white, because it's seen already. It's like when this is hard and something is soft, hard and soft.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to say that I touch softness, because softness appears to the body consciousness already. No need to say anything at all. And when the hardness is experienced, no need to say that it's hard. Because who knows how hard it is? Only the body can consciousness know. So, is this substance or what?
Well, if there is anything ultimately that's called substance, it would be...
By thinking.
That would be sabhava.
It would be sabhava.
So, in fact, I think concepts don't have sabhava.
No.
So if we're talking about sabhava, we're talking about realities.
Yes.
So, and the people who object to sabhava, they'll have to object compared to what? To an idea, right? Not about reality.
Why do we introduce the term substance into the sabhava discussion?
Because
it's just a poor translation.
I'm afraid for this term.
They don't like the term substance.
It seems like a self or something that exists.
Like if you talk about the nature or characteristic of visible object, then one knows it's just referring to a visible object as opposed to sound. But if you talk about the substance of visible object, it makes it sound like something there, doesn't it?
Yes, all right. Yes.
It's a term from philosophy and it makes it very confusing and lead to confusion.
All right, but sometimes when people say to me that Paramattha Dharmas aren't realities any more than concepts, I say, yes, they are real. They have substance. And they say, well, what is that substance? And I say, it's their characteristics. They are inherent in that Dharma. It's what distinguishes that Dharma from other Dharmas. It's
so we could skip the substance and just say they have characteristics.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
It's so loaded.
Substance. It gives the impression of permanence.
Entity,
and permanence. Substance.
Mm.
Maybe you look puzzled at a point. Is this visible object the same as the visible object was seen a moment ago? Is the sound the same as the sound a moment ago?
Yes, I'm puzzled when you said each has its own discrete or unique
characteristic.
Does it have the same? Well, it seems to me that it does in that is that it can be seen.
Yeah, but each visible object is different from each other visible object. No two visible objects are the same.
What makes them different? A bit because they are all able to be seen. Mm-hmm. So what else is there about them?
I could give a kind of technical answer about depending on the other rupas they arise with, just different conditions. So we know, like, the sound of what we call the waterfall is quite different from the sound of what we call the birds. The sound heard is completely different, so...
Oh, I see what you mean. This, okay.
But they share the characteristic.
Okay.
They share the characteristic,
right,
of being sound,
okay,
of being heard. But each sound is quite different.
Because in one moment of seeing this visible object, but then that visible object goes, so that every visible object is different to the last one because it rises and falls away.
Completely, never to come back.
Yeah. That's the meaning of khanda. Mm-hmm. Not just nama and rupa and reality, but also khanda too.
Yes, because each rupa is different, so each one is rupa khanda.
Because nature, we use it to describe the distinctness, sound being sound. And then now you're saying that nature, or also different sounds being different, is also each nature being...
Each has a different characteristic, it doesn't matter what you say. Each sound is
different.
We wouldn't really talk about the sound of a waterfall or a bird, because then there's something in there, isn't it? So it's like pitch of sound or...
Each sound is different, just like there's hardness, softness, there's loud sound, soft sound.
It's like a range
sound,
or
a range,
something, yes.
Different.
When I understand this, one understand what is meant by khanda.
Yes.
Each one is khanda.
I'm not clear about what you mean by each one is khanda.
Not the same. Past, present, future, okay. Outside, inside, mm-hmm. Cause, free, fine.
When we talk about these 11 aspects of khandas, they're referring to realities. When we refer to the internal, external, starting with rupas, it's quite easy to understand because there are internal rupas and external rupas, such as sound. When it comes to Chitta or Vedana or Sanya, the namas, internal, external, that are directly experienced. With reference to the Satipatthana Sutta and the internal, external, we've talked before about how the references to external means, like, Chitta now conditioned by something outside.
Or I or the other.
Anatta
and Bahita, another meaning.
But
inner and outer.
But when it comes to, for example, the khandas, here it's not referring to, for example, the ayatanas. It's referring to those realities, the khandas. So, for example, let's say lobha as an example. So, in terms of the khandas. So, lobha externally as a reality, what exactly is referred to in terms of khanda, external lobha?
What subject we are talking about, by way of ayatana or by way of achata, prahita,
ayatana, just when in terms
of satipatthana?
No, when it refers to the 11 aspects of khandas, which we know have to refer to realities that can be known, are we saying that it can be known?
Only your jitta?
There are others, but of course the other cannot be known, so...
Cannot be known by whom?
I see, by whom, cannot be known, right, can be known by the Buddha, for example, okay.
And that I find difficult as object of awareness or to know the chittas of others. We have talked about it before, but I still don't understand it very well.
Do you have no idea about the others at all? Even while one is watching TV, is it your feeling or what you take for someone
in that frame.
So that would just be thinking about being.
Yeah, yes. That's why we can understand that even that moment should be known.
Yes.
Yeah. Even thinking about the other's feeling.
Then the object of awareness will be thinking.
Later on you know that there's no one at all in the world, no self, no one.
But how can it be object of awareness, the citta of someone else?
It means that even while one is thinking about the other's feeling, there can be awareness of a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the story.
Reality of thinking.
Any. That's so difficult.
No selection.
That's so difficult.
It's so difficult to understand each one.
Because we get preoccupied with thinking.
Yeah.
What I understood you just to be saying there in terms of the kanda, it's not referring to awareness of whatever the reality is like, such as when thinking about the other, but actually by understanding rupa's rupa, one knows whether it's internal or external, or citta internal or another's. It's just citta.
One is watching TV and one sees someone is crying. Can there be understanding?
A reality, but not a...
Yeah, like feeling.
Feeling or thinking.
And then who's feeling again? See, it comes closer, closer to there is no other people.
Yeah.
It's just one's own feeling when one thinks about this person or that person.
Less and less idea of internal and external.
I saw that Anne was tired, so I was thinking of her tiredness. It's thinking. So?
No? What about reality right then?
Visible object.
It's
visible object.
Yeah, it seems like we have to look for reality. But reality is there already. It depends on right understanding of any one of them. Can there be awareness of sanya?
It can.
See? Yeah. There is also sanya there. So it depends. Mm-hmm. Before there can be awareness of everything as reality, so there is no one.
I find this a difficult point.
It's difficult from hearing, up to being aware, up to be used to each characteristic as Dhamma, and it's so difficult to become detached to that reality as something. Even just now, it's visible object. Without understanding, it's attachment. But when right understanding is there, it's different from being attached to know. Because while there is no understanding yet, there is attachment or effort to know, see? But when it's known, Panya knows, it's different.
By developing understanding of realities, there's less idea of people and things, less idea of internal, external, because it's just citta, cetasika, rupa. So why in the definition of the khandhas do they give these aspects such as internal, external then? Is that just a kind of conventional convenience because we're used to thinking in terms of internal, external, so a kind of just a conventional
because
convenience pointing to
wisdom is not grow to that degree.
So when wisdom grows to that degree, then
then you understand.
Then it's understood there'd be no idea of internal, external. So it's like a kind of pointing the aspects for those with limited understanding, because we're used to thinking in that
even way. Hardness here, or heat or cold here, without understanding, it's me.
Yes.
It's my body, still belong to someone.
Still the idea is there.
But I'd like to know more about thinking of the other citta and feeling, and metta.
You just told me about your thing about someone, tiredness.
Yes.
That's it. You cannot change your idea.
But I'd like to hear more about metta. Because that is a being, is the object.
It doesn't mean that after knowing what is what, there is no idea at all. exactly the same, but there is understanding. Not like before when there's no understanding at all.
Yes. I don't quite get the point, I feel.
Without visible object, can you see anyone?
No.
After seeing, before thinking about people and things, there is ignorance. So there cannot be the understanding of reality as different realities at all. But when there is awareness, beginning to learn to understand visible object, there is no ignorance at moment of understanding. And so you know that understanding understand what? Visible object or sound. Then later on, there is the understanding about realities, even at moment of thinking about someone. So when there is the idea of something, it's thinking. Otherwise, you still keep the idea of someone so permanent.
That's right. That is very important. Yeah.
I think that without the understanding of realities, there must be the idea of something stay all the time, yeah, as before. But yeah, when there is the understanding of visible object right now, at that moment, there is right understanding instead of ignorance as before. So the right understanding of visible object begins to develop until there is detachment from clinging as before. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding that one is so attached to just that which is seen? If there is no such understanding, it cannot eliminate the idea or the attachment to what is seen at all. But by understanding that what is seen is a reality that can be seen, only that, you cannot use it, you cannot take it, you cannot do anything at all, because it's foreseen to see. By develop more and more understanding, there will be more and more detachment from clinging as usual. So you know the difference between understanding visible object and understanding the thinking about visible object. So even there is the vipassanayana or the enlightenment, but life has to go on from seeing to thinking as usual. But instead of not knowing seeing as it is and visible object as it is, there is the panya which sees and penetrates the true nature of all realities as they are, as not self. But there must be sanya as usual, so there can be metta too.
Yeah, you see someone needs something, like this morning you had the tiger balm for people who need it. So you think also.
There must be thinking.
Yeah.
One cannot live without thinking.
You would know if someone needs something.
Uh-huh. Thinking is thinking.
Yeah.
There must be thinking, but what about the understanding that thinking arises and falls away?
Yeah. Otherwise you think it's my metta.
Because when there is the fully developed understanding, it will eradicate the idea of self, permanent reality.
Yeah.
No permanent reality at all.
There can be thinking with metta.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would think.
Seeing cannot have metta. Seeing itself cannot have metta.
But thinking can.
How can there be metta without thinking?
Right.
There has to be, metta has to arise with thinking, because the object is a concept, it's a person.
We were talking earlier about metta. Metta is not a reality.
Yes.
Alopa, a type of alopa.
Okay. Do we have to name or call it anything?
No.
How about Dana?
The same.
I'm thinking of her. She's not thirsty. Thinking of Betty, who is thirsty. But later on, will be realized, only visible object and only thinking.
Completely gone.
Completely gone.
What about metta when it's developed to the point of jhana? Still with thinking?
The object of jhana is concepts.
But is the metta at that stage?
It's the citta, which is so full of metta, not just for one person. But anytime it arises, it is metta towards anyone at moment of thinking.
I come back to this morning's discussion. When we talk about dana, sila and bhavana, I can see that bhavana is a reality, it's panya. And sila is a reality, it's purity, or the abstinence, chetasi. Is dana a particular reality?
It's real. Anything which is real is a reality.
Right. So can we say it's a particular reality?
It is chetasika. It's not unwholesome jetasikas, it is wholesome jetasika.
All wholesome jetasika are dana?
Citta does not arise only with one jetasika. No. There are many jetasikas arise together.
Yes. I see what you mean. Like when I was saying that panya was bhavana, that was not quite right, I see.
Or but in other words, with our panya can there not be panya at all. There cannot be panya. Excuse me, there cannot be bhavana when there is no panya.
When we talk about dana, we're not just talking about any citta in which alopa arises, I don't think.
What dana means in Pali?
Dana is the same word.
Yeah, what does it mean in Pali?
It has to do with giving, uh-huh. Dadati.
Giving.
Yeah. Which you can also give mentally, not always a thing. And you appreciate other people's good deeds. The citta is with dana.
His question is, can we define dana other than using concepts? Like we can say that bhavana is just citta with panya, and that's a paramita dhamma. But if we want to define dana, there's no comparable definition that refers to a particular kind of citta and its mental factors. We have to refer to something about the circumstances. Is that your question?
I think so.
Is concept real? No.
No, it's definitely not real.
Citta is real.
Citta is real.
Is dana real?
Well, I think it is, yes.
So what dana is when it's real?
Citta with and chetasika.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But only one.
One at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah. Mm.
So it doesn't have to be more than one. It can be just one.
Each one,
yes,
at moment of giving, is kusala citta by way of giving dana. Because kusala citta can be done by different ways, dana or sila or bhavana.
Yes. We can say at a moment of giving.
There must be citta, which is wholesome.
Right. Is giving a concept?
No, citta, which gives. Without rupa, can there be giving? Without only rupa, can there be giving?
Yes.
Only rupa, without nama, without citta, just rupa itself, can there be giving?
No.
And only citta without rupa, can there be giving?
Yes.
No rupa at all.
It would be, well, if we just gave the gift of non-harming, there's no rupa.
But there is the body. Body and the heart base.
Well, that has to arise with it. Yes.
That's why there should be precise understanding about the difference between the nama and the rupa. The rupa cannot do anything.
No.
It cannot experience anything. Mm-hmm. And the nama cannot perform any action, deeds or speech without rupa.
Actions of thought? Do they need rupa?
How can citta act like rupa?
I'm thinking here of what we sometimes talk about, the act of giving non-harming. So when adosa chetasika is there.
That is cetana chetasika, which is kama. No action, no deeds. But it's kusala kama, because it's absent from ill deeds.
So his question is, for example, that not every act of generosity involves an actual gift. There may just be the mental state of non-harm or giving the gift of harmlessness to another. So he's asking, where are the rupas in this case?
No, that's not his question.
Where is the rupa?
Well, it was after Arjuna brought rupas into it. Yeah. Before that, I was just asking, is giving a concept? I know dana isn't a concept. Dana is a reality. Is giving something other, when we talk about giving?
Without rupa, can there be the action of giving?
Okay, I'll say no now because we'll leave that other one out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Does that mean that giving...
is conditioned, rupa conditioned by citta to form the action of giving.
Oh, I see. This is a little bit new to me. I haven't really thought of this before. So, yeah.
Even walking, sitting, speaking is conditioned by citta. The rupa itself cannot do anything.
Right.
It's conditioned by citta.
You know, you might be interested in a discussion we had a few weeks ago about ayatana, where, Ajahn, you pointed out that there's the 12 ayatana, and there's the 5 pairs, which are the sense-based pairs, and then there's dhamma ayatana and
manayatana.
And manayatana and dhamma ayatana are always arising, even
because
with...
always a
citta. Right. Well, this was news to me.
Is dhamma ayatana.
So there's always, even when there's the other 5 pairs, there's also, at the same moment, there's also dhamma ayatana and mana ayatana arising. As the, and so there's, sometimes there's 4 ayatana arising at the same time. Is that correct, Ajahn? Did I remember that correctly?
I think that what we mean by ayatana is the moment of experiencing an object. What are there? At moment of seeing, there must be the sense base, the eye base, and there must be the object seeing, which hasn't fallen away yet.
Yes.
Even its lifespan is so very short, but it has to be there. And there must be citta and cetasika. So there are 4 ayatana
at that moment,
of seeing.
Yes, and like I was saying to you at that time, that was sort of news to me because I'd always thought of them as 6 pairs, sort of.
Without citta and cetasika.
Well, I thought.
Because when you think about the eye and the visible object, there is no manayatana, only 2. But actually, at moment of seeing, what are there?
Yeah. So the eye and the. What are the is jaku
pasada?
Yeah, and
must be there. Hasn't fallen away yet.
And one ayatana,
vanatatu or ruparamana must be there. Hasn't fallen away yet.
And
manayatana
and dhammayatana, citta and cetasika.
Oh, so everyone knows that. Except me. Oh, really?
No.
And the same with the other cheetahs in the sense of your process.
Okay. I just found it very useful to think about that, yeah.
It seems like it's so common, but actually, what conditions such a moment of seeing or experiencing or a moment of something appear like visible object? It needs many ayatana to be there. At this moment of seeing, surely, the pasata rupa hasn't fallen away yet. Even the rupa must be there.
Eye base is also the eye door.
When? There is seeing.
When there's seeing.
But when there is no seeing, it's just the rupa which can contact with the visible object, but it's not door because there is no seeing.
Yes.
It's door but not base.
Base or door?
It's base, but not dory. Only dory when it's experience.
At the moment of the other cheetahs in the sense door experience, like Sampatichana and Sankirana, it's still the doorway, but not the base.
Because you mean the tool.
But heart base is not mind door. Mind door is the first Vavanga cheetah of the last. Okay. Is that an important distinction? Does that matter? in the five senses, the sense base is also the door, but in the sixth one it isn't. What's the relevance of that?
Because thinking is not seeing, so it doesn't need the eye base at all.
Why doesn't it need heart base?
It does need heart base, but you're saying why isn't the heart base the doorway?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not a means by means of which you experience an object through mind gore. And there is a mind gore process.
So when we talk about this, we think about the rupa, which citta is originated, right? And in the fourth khandha's claim, there's no rupa, but citta can arise. But in the five khandhas plane, there must be rupa to be the base for citta to arise.
But I think his question was, in the sense door processes, the base is also the doorway, but in the mind door process, the base, the heart base, is not the doorway. So this is what he's asking.
So thinking about the doorway first, without the eye, you call it sense opasada. They cannot be seeing, right? Because no rupa can contact the visible object except that one, the Pachakupasata. But where does it arise? This is the meaning of the death. Because citta cannot arise outside of the body. So whenever citta arises, it must have one rupa as its base for its arising. So at that moment of the process of seeing, the first vipitita, panchatvara, vachana, does not perform the function of seeing, but it knows, but it doesn't see. So it arises at the heart bed, but it has the Sakupasata as its doorway. This is the difference between the vattu and the vara.
And so when you're saying that the arupa plane, there's no heart base, is there?
No rupa.
No rupa, so no heart base.
But citta can arise. It can think as
the why it has to be
the last pavanga has completely gone.
Yes. Yeah.
Not acquainting the visible object yet.
The cheetahs and the idol process, other than seeing, have heart base as its base of origin. But when we were talking about the ayatanas, when the other cheetahs in the sense door process arise, they also need eye base still as ayatana. Only chaku vinyana, the same, okay. But that eye base, it hasn't fallen away, so even for the other cheetahs in the process that have heart base as the base of origin, but still
the doorway for experiencing this must be the eye.
Still the eye, yeah. And I think that's why when it's referring to the ayatanas, still there has to be the eye base as ayatana arising, still there. Because it's still the doorway, the means, even though it's not the actual base of origin.
Because even the heart base itself is not the inner rupa.
No. So it's still the inner rupa of eye base that is the ayatana, even though the heart base is the base of origin.
Yeah. You were talking about pariyatti. And you said it is really more than just theoretical understanding, because it has to pertain to reality now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, when listening to Dhamma, that can be called pariyatti, only when one knows that it's about reality right now.
Only then,
mm-hmm.
Not just the book.
No.
Mm-hmm. And when you say when one knows, reality right now,
Like we are talking about seeing right now, not in the book with seven jetasikas.
Right. That's why I asked you. So mm-hmm. that thinking about it will lead right
to
now.
Be acquainted with the seeing yeah. and visible object that as friend, yeah. as they are. New friend, but not friend, just reality.
I'd like to hear more about that.
You're so close.
You said today it's very interesting. You asked us what is interesting, concept or people or realities, and then later you said realities are so very, very interesting. But sometimes they don't seem so interesting, I feel.
When there is no understanding about them, it's not interesting at all. But when there is the beginning of understanding what life is, it's so very interesting. Who can condition it? Who can control? After Patisanthicitta, the first moment has gone, life has to go on by conditions, which the Patisanthicitta is like the collection of all happenings that has conditioned to arise from birth to death.
The collection?
Or the conditions.
The condition.
Okay. For that life, for that particular life.
Because you are born with those abilities or potentialities.
Because you see that after one citta has fallen away, all the cetasikas, even there's no more, but it's a condition. And the trace of it is there in each one.
Because from last life.
But it's not like the tint or the taste of coffee that we can see. Because citta is absolutely mental phenomenon. But it's there from moment to moment. And it's so much accumulated that nobody can count. And nobody can arrange what would be conditioned for this particular life. But what happens must be conditions that dhamma, what do you call it, like collect or condition.
Accumulate?
Mm-hmm. To moments that would happen.
Come together.
Uh-huh. In that life.